Good morning, family. Everybody well? It's great to be together today and enjoy our time in the Lord's presence. And I just, first of all, before I share the word, would like to say a very, very, very special thanks to all the people and volunteers, particularly that worked so hard at the Global Leadership Summit that we had last weekend. We had over 1,000 people from different churches, from business, from just lots of people coming to attend the GLS. And I cannot tell you how many great compliments we received from people just saying how well run the event was and how just they felt so encouraged and so loved, and just our volunteers worked so hard. And it was great for me as I was walking around and speaking to volunteers. Every one of them said they just enjoyed doing it so much. So we have such a great heart of hospitality in this community, and I don't want to say thank you very much. Are there any of the people here today that were volunteers at GLS? Won't you just quickly raise your hand? Come on, there's lots and lots of them that were. Give them a good round of applause, and we just want to say thank you very much for not only doing our church proud, but really for serving the kingdom and purposes of God. We really appreciate that. Just then also, I'd like to just mention that last Sunday, we showed a video clip in the church about adoption, and while we think that those issues are so important and cannot be stressed too much and cannot get enough airtime and issues of child abuse, we recognize that the video was perhaps a little bit hard for some people to see, and particularly for those that had children in the service, and we apologize if it just was not comfortable for anybody, really know that our heart in it was just to communicate the value and the importance of that issue in our time. And perhaps even if it felt like we showed that and then immediately did a pledge after that, that perhaps there was a little bit of trying to draw money from people, that definitely, I think you know by now, that's not how we do things, and that definitely was not the heart of it. But just wanted to clarify that. And thank you for your ongoing support and for the way you've given into the Faith Promise season. We'll be giving you some feedback on that in the weeks to come, and just how much money we've raised and the plans for next year. I think if I'm correct, then our team that is in Israel currently are going to the Garden of Gethsemane today. And so I just thought of that as we were having communion, and I've just heard feedback from them. They have had a great time, and just really so many things happening in this week, and nations and reconciliation and praying together and just prophetically speaking into the nations. And we look forward to their return tomorrow, and I particularly and our family look particularly forward to their return, so that our mother can come home and life can return back to some sense of normality. But we're grateful for the time they had over there. Well, this morning we're coming back to our theme for this term that we've been having and looking at wisdom for life. We took a break from the theme for the Faith Promise season, but today we really want to get right back into our sharing and looking and considering the book of Proverbs. And the title of today's message is True Beauty. True Beauty. And I'd like us to think a little bit and talk about what does it mean if we say something is beautiful. I think it's a worthwhile discussion and a topic, particularly in our times, to talk about. And there's many different aspects and views and many different things we call beautiful. But when we say something is beautiful, what do we mean and what do we base that on? Now, the scripture I want to read quickly from Proverbs 31, verse 30, from that famous, you know, the chapter about this great woman in Proverbs 31, often referred to as the Proverbs 31 woman. There's this verse in verse 30 that says the following: harm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Harm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Now, when I read this verse, it sort of puts beauty in the confines of a person, and particularly a woman. But I'd like to take beauty beyond that a little bit and beyond that scope. And what I think this scripture refers to us to and sort of helps us see is that often beauty can be deceptive. That often beauty has this problem where it presents something that looks so good and so wonderful, but then it can actually contain something different. How many of you have ever been disappointed by something that seemed to be so good and so beautiful, but in the end, it caused you a problem? I can remember a particular beauty that caught my eye a couple of years ago, many years ago in my life. This beauty just had everything going for it. It was just beautiful. And I just wanted this beauty. And then eventually got this beauty. And as I got to spend a bit more time with this beauty and just, you know, everything that came, I started realizing there were some problems. That under the skin, there were a couple of issues. And it started causing my life some problems. Now, the beauty I'm referring to is my 1969 Mini that I bought many, many years ago. Just before any of you get scared about what am I talking about. This car that I bought was my first little car that I bought. It had a new paint job. It had a new interior done. It had a great stereo system in it. It just looked beautiful. But having acquired it and driving it for a while, the little problems started coming up. And like it is with things that are old, they tend to break a lot. And then you struggle to find the parts. And eventually I had to sell the car because I just couldn't afford to keep it anymore. It just required so much maintenance. And this is the reality of beauty in the world we live in. Beauty promises something. Beauty is enticing. Beauty draws us in. But so often it overpromises and underdelivers. And I think that's what this verse refers to. And I think it is important for us as even the church, as people of God in this time that we live in, to talk and think about beauty. I think beauty is one of those topics that throughout the ages man has been discussing and will continue to discuss, but it just seems like that right now in our world there's a little bit of a focus on the whole issue of beauty. Sometimes it's about what determines beauty in terms of a world where perhaps one culture group dominates other culture groups. And so everybody seems to have to live up to the idea of beauty that is promoted by one group of people. So then we talk about what does it mean to be beautiful? How do we define beauty? Perhaps in a world where right now it's a sensitive thing to talk about beauty even. You know, today, even if you say to somebody, you're beautiful, it may be an insult. Because they may receive it as you are defining me and judging me purely based on outward appearance and you don't value me as a person. And these discussions about beauty are sensitive and difficult to have. But I think nonetheless we have to consider how we as the church, as the children of Jesus, think about beauty. First, let us begin, if we think by talking about beauty, by stating the problem. And the problem often is how do you define beauty? It's like nailing jelly to a wall. It just is very difficult to do. Anybody ever tried nailing jelly to a wall? I don't know why you would try, but, you know, it just is difficult. And beauty, the dictum often is that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You've heard that being said, and you've probably said it. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And that's part of what makes it difficult to define beauty. Because something I consider to be beautiful, you may not consider it to be beautiful. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. There is truth to this reality that beauty in one sense is very subjective. I mean, I can proudly say that I am married to the most beautiful woman in the world. There is none more beautiful than her. You're supposed to all say amen at this point in time. Except if you're a husband and your wife is sitting next to you, then you better not say amen at this point. I can say but that's my subjective reality. Am I right to say it? Yes, because to me, she is the most beautiful person in the world. There is no one like her. I hope this is on recording and she's watching via YouTube perhaps in Israel. You know, the house is a mess. I have to score points at this point in time. But beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Some of us listen to a portion of music and we think it is beautiful. And somebody else goes, please switch that noise off. If you live with four teenagers in your house, you'll understand what I am referring to. Or you may look at a painting. And it evokes in you certain feelings and you get lost in this painting while somebody else goes, it just doesn't do it for me. Or read a book or see a person and say, that person is really beautiful. And somebody else goes, I don't know. Beauty surely has a subjective reality to it. But is it right to think that all beauty is completely subjective? Or is there an objective reality to beauty? Is there a reality, a line, a boundary to be drawn around this idea of beauty to be said that beautiful things fit within this? Surely there must be things that are not beautiful. There must be things in this world that no matter who calls it beautiful, they are not beautiful. It must be the case. Surely beauty is not purely subjective. A lot of it may be subjective, but I think there's a parameter. There's a general understanding that certain actions, certain things, certain appearances are beautiful, while certain things may be considered that those are not beautiful. I mean, if a person commits some heinous, vicious crime against somebody else, if they call their crime beautiful, we will say they are delusional. They are wrong. So therefore, beauty can not always be in the eye of the beholder. There must be an understanding. Some things are beautiful and other things are not beautiful. And this is where the difficulty comes in. How do we define beauty? Now, please remember, we are taking time in the book of Proverbs. And what is the main point of the book of Proverbs? All the messages we've spoken always comes back to the same point. The book of Proverbs tells us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And what it means, remember what that says, is everything begins with God. So is beauty any different? I want to propose to you that if we want to consider beauty, we have to start with God. And we have to let Him be the one that draws the parameters for us. Him be the one that defines for us what is beautiful and what is not beautiful. And how do we do that? I want to use a quote by the famous thinker and theologian Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards says the following: "For as God is infinitely the greatest being, so He is allowed to be infinitely the most beautiful and excellent. And all the beauty to be found throughout the whole creation is but the reflection of the diffused beams of that being who hath an infinite fullness of brightness and glory." What Jonathan Edwards says to us is that God is the creator of everything. And remember, Proverbs is about how to live life, a successful life in a world created by God and sustained by God. So if it is true that God made everything, this world and everything in the expanse, and if it is true that God is good, that He is ultimately good, that He is loving, then God is beautiful, and then beauty is found in God. And then therefore creation as He made it in its original state is beautiful and is an extension of the beauty of God. When God spoke and He said, "Let there be light," light carries beauty because that beauty comes from the God who made it. So God, therefore, according to our understanding, is the definition of beauty. And when we want to talk about beauty and we want to find parameters for beauty and we want to move beyond the subjective reality of beauty, we want to say, "God, let us first see You. Let us first know You. Let us first get lost in Your beauty, because from there we can understand what beauty is." Jonathan Edwards also said, "The glorious excellence and beauty of God will be what will forever entertain the minds of the saints, and the love of God will be their everlasting feast." Our eternal inheritance is beauty. Heaven, this place where there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sin, no more evil, is a beautiful place. It is described in Scripture in language to evoke from us the sense of beauty. If you want to put the opposite of that, then you think of hell. Hell is atrocious, horrendous. Hell is ugly. Hell has no beauty in it because God is not there. Therefore, hell is the absence of God and therefore has the absence of beauty. Whereas heaven is the fullness of God. Therefore, it is beautiful. And God wants us to live in a world of His beauty. He made this world. He made everything in it. And He stood back and He said, "It was very good." And part of that meant it was beautiful. And then sin came into the story. And sin is ugliness. In the sense that sin is when beauty gets distorted. It's when beauty becomes misshaped. It's when beauty becomes twisted. It's when beauty is removed and destroyed. That is what sin does. And that is ultimately what death is. the absence of beauty. So we now live in a world where there still is beauty. There's still the residue. There's still the God, the creator that stands. And we're not agnostics. You know, an agnostic believes that God made the heavens and the earth, and then like a clock, he wound it up, and then he stood back, and now everything is just taking its course, but God's not involved anymore. No, we believe our God is involved every day. He's busy in creation. And what is he busy with? He's busy showing his beauty. He's busy displaying who he is. But there's also this side where there's death and decay in the world. So there's this reality that you and I now live in where we have beauty and we have ugliness, all wrapped up within our lives. But the heart of our Father is beauty, to make all things beautiful. And that's the work that Jesus does, is he comes and he makes all things beautiful. So if we want to consider beauty, let's begin by understanding this, that beauty is found in God and from God. That is what is beautiful. I want to put a couple of pictures on the screen for you about things that that you could describe as beautiful. So I'm going to ask them to put the first two pictures up. These two pictures are often referred to, and the word beauty is associated with it. Perhaps the photo on the right, on your right-hand side, is an easier one. I don't think there's many people here this morning that would not look at the colors and the life and the vibrancy of a nature scene like that and say, wow, that is beautiful. I think we can all, generally, probably 99% of the population would go, that's beautiful. So there's something that we can say and we can put within our parameter and description of it is beautiful. But I wonder how different you as a believer look at a scene like that, and somebody who's not a believer in a creator looks at the picture like that. You see, whenever I find myself in a place like that of beautiful nature, what evokes in me when I see beauty like that? What rises up within me? Come on, what rises in you when you see something truly beautiful? What arises within you? Worship, isn't it? Whenever I'm in a place, and often, for instance, when I haven't been able to do it for a long time, but when I go scuba diving, and you're right there under the water and you're in amongst the beauty and just the peace and the serenity. It's some of the most wonderful worship moments I've had with a BC in your mouth and you can't speak and make a noise. And I'd be singing in my mind just praise songs to the Lord. Because beauty evokes worship. The photo on the left, you'll know, and most of you will recognize Marilyn Monroe, often considered to be one of the most beautiful women that has lived in the world. And that's very subjective, and some of you may think. Now, when you look at her just as a photo, surely there's beauty. But now often we know the story behind that photo. We know the story of the person. And we go, perhaps her life didn't live up to the potential of beauty that it could have. We know the struggles. We know the pain. How young she died. And we go, there's this beauty, but again, alongside of it, so close to it, aligned with it, is this ugliness. Beauty and ugliness. Perhaps the next photo, if I can show you the next photo, I think all of us will go, that's beautiful. I mean, who can say no to those big brown eyes? Hey? Doesn't that look like Neil to you when he was young? Neil, is that? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, that's beautiful. I think any baby, some are a little bit more beautiful than others. Let's understand that, you know. But to their parents, they are the most beautiful. You know, when you see the innocence, you see something like that, it's just beautiful. Beautiful. And all these things are great, and I think it's so wonderful that God has created beauty. We don't need beauty to survive. We don't need beauty in a world that is purely pragmatic. In a world where everything is just about survival of the fittest and the progress of man, you don't need beauty. But in a world created by a loving Father that wants to create and stir within us the sense of well-being and happiness and joy and fulfillment and generosity and just bigness and goodness, we need beauty. And that's what God does. He delivers beauty to us all day long. to draw out of us our need for Him, a response for Him, because He is beautiful. But just now, I'm going to show you the picture, a picture of the most beautiful thing you can see. A picture of that completely sums up the beauty of God in one place, and they can put that picture up. This is a picture of the most beautiful thing you'll see in the world. Now, for those of you that are listening on the radio, on the screen now is a picture of Jesus on the cross. Not a nice picture. A picture of a man torn, full of lacerations, thorns, blood. How can I say that this is a picture of the most beautiful? Now, perhaps I'm being a little bit trying to draw you into an idea. Because at the same time as this is the picture of the most beautiful thing you'll see in the world, it is also the picture of the most terrible thing you'll see. Let me say why I think it's the picture of the most terrible thing. Because as I said earlier, God created, and He created you and me particularly as the chief carriers of His beauty. Nothing is more beautiful than man. Because in man is the image of God. We are carriers of the beauty of God more than any other form of creation. If you look at mankind and you do not see beauty, then you're missing the God behind that creation. Now, is there ugliness in mankind? Yes, and that's the problem. When we fell into sin and when we came into the law of death, and when that law started acting in us, sin started taking root in us, and death and ugliness started and violence started being displayed in us. And that violence and that death and that sin is so horrible, it is so real and so terrible that it necessitated this. So when you see a Jesus like that and you don't want to look at it and you see a picture of a Jesus hanging on the cross and He's cut and He's broken and He's beaten, you must understand that gives you an idea of how ugly sin is. Because when God put Jesus on the cross like that, He said, I will put all the ugliness of this world on you. I will take all the violence, the brokenness, the deception, and I'll put it on Christ. And that's what Jesus came to look like. Because sin is real. You see, we live in a world where often we say, because we live in the subjective reality, we go, sin, whatever. But we don't understand how really bad sin is and how really ugly it is. And when you see Jesus like that, He is the embodiment at a moment like that of the ugliness of sin. And God reached out throughout from the sin of Adam and Eve till the sin of the last being, of the last human being. And He took all of that ugliness and He put it on Jesus. But at the same time, this ugly, terrible picture is the most beautiful thing you'll see if you know the story. If you know what is going on behind the scenes. If you know that this man hanging on a cross was innocent, had no ugliness of his own. He was beautiful. He was complete, perfect beauty. He did not deserve for one second, one moment to be treated like this because he had no guilt. He had no ugliness. Everything he did was beautiful. Everything he did was good. But to take our ugliness and to remove it so that beauty can be restored to us again, that we do not have to live lives that end in this, that end in the absence of the beauty of our Father, so that we did not have to go this way, Jesus did it for us. And he hung on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. And he took all our ugliness upon himself. So that is the picture of the most beautiful act you'll ever see. The most beautiful event that ever took place. Because that event is an expression of pure love. John 3:16 says the following, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, will not succumb to ugliness, but will have eternal life. Is that your story? Is your story that story? where your ugliness have been nailed to a cross. Your ugliness has been dealt with. So that even today, when I see my own ugliness, because let's be real, there's this ugliness that I carry. No matter how good I try and be, no matter how beautiful I try and be, there's ugliness in me. And whenever this ugliness manifests as a child of God who knows the beauty of this story of a Jesus that died on the cross for me, I can go, thank you, Jesus, that my ugliness has been forgiven and been taken care of. And thank you, Lord, that your beauty is being restored within me right now. I ask you to forgive me. I repent. I do not want to live an ugly life. I want to live the life of your beauty. Not just a beautiful life by some arbitrary object or subjective definition. Not a life that I deem beautiful or somebody else deems beautiful, but a life that is beautiful in the eyes of God, the one that defines what real beauty is. That's the life that I can live in Jesus. In John 12, verse 27 to 28, we read the account of Jesus struggling with beauty and ugliness. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name. Then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I've already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. Whenever we read the word glory, we must understand part of that is beauty. God's glory is his beauty, is displayed in his glory. So here Jesus says, Lord, I don't want to have to face all this ugliness. I don't want to carry this ugliness. I don't want to feel this ugliness. But I'll do it for the sake of your beauty and of your glory. And the Father says, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. I will bring beauty to the earth. And that's my story, and that's your story. We are being remade. If you're a child of God, if you partook the communion earlier today and you remembered this terrible event that took place, you ate that piece of what's supposed to be unleavened bread and you took that the juice of the grape and you say, Lord, I remember that you became ugly so that I could become beautiful in your eyes. And then I want to say to you, you are beautiful. Not just because you know what Jesus has done for you. Can I say that every person made on this planet is made by God? You are beautiful. Even if you do not know in Jesus, even if you don't believe in Jesus, you still carry the beauty of God within you. You still carry that beauty. You are beautiful. Don't make beauty about something. Primarily, firstly, that doesn't carry that truth and reality that you are beautiful. Because otherwise we enter a world of struggle where we're always trying to live up to somebody else's reality. We're always trying to live up to somebody else's standard and somebody else's subjective reality. Why don't I have to do that? I can remember as a young person in my teenage years, I didn't have a good skin. Lots of acne and problems and it became my chief prayer sort of thing that I prayed for the most and trusted God for. Lord, heal my skin. Make my skin beautiful. Make it clean. And I'd pray that, and I can remember in this very church coming to the front and letting people pray for me. And somehow, God never answered my prayer in that sense. God never touched my face and made it what I would consider to be something beautiful. But you know what God was doing? Is underneath that skin, he was working. He was working in my heart. And he was making things in my own heart that were ugly, and far more ugly than what any blemish on my skin was. He was working at that. Now, I'm not saying it's an either or. This is just my story. Some days I still pray. You know, I'm 47 years old, and still sometimes I get skin, you know, bad skin days. But can I be honest and say I'm far more thankful for the work of God inside of me, and I don't have to get stuck with the outside stuff. And I don't know what it is in your life that makes you feel ugly. Makes you feel that you're not living up to a standard. Makes you feel like you're not good enough. And perhaps it's hair, and perhaps it's shape, and perhaps it's color, and perhaps it's whatever it can be. And all those things are important, and it's not like God doesn't give attention to those things. Those are important. They have value. But can I tell you, you can be settle all those things in your life, but if the beauty of God is not being restored within you, you are missing the greater point. You are missing that which is eternally beautiful. So when the world says beauty is on the inside, can I say to you, the scripture says, unfortunately, that our heart is wicked and deceitful above all else. Our beauty is not on the inside, except if God is busy working it on the inside, in the bigger scheme of things. God wants to restore and build that beauty within you. The world says true beauty is in being yourself, but the Bible says we must lose ourselves in Him. If you want to be beautiful, stop trying to be beautiful and let His beauty be manifest in you. I've found it astounding over the years. I get to know people. And sometimes it's our privilege in ministry. You may perhaps introduce somebody to Jesus and pray the sinner's prayer with them, and they give their heart to Jesus. And then you watch them, and it's amazing. I've seen it many, many times, how somebody becomes more and more and more beautiful because of the beauty of God that starts working within them. That is where real beauty comes from. The world says beauty might bring happiness, but happiness always brings beauty. That's what the world says, one of the quotes. The Bible says, happy are those that are persecuted, excluded, and mocked. There is true beauty in the one that gives everything to Jesus. And that's our foundation. That's where we start. Is it wrong to want to look beautiful and have beautiful things and listen to beautiful things and enjoy beautiful things? No. As long as I understand those things come from God. I cannot have those things ultimately if I don't have God first. If I really want to have beauty, if I want to have true beauty, it begins with God. When I have Him in my life, He makes all things beautiful. He makes all things beautiful. I want to end with Psalm 96, verse 7 to 9. Worship team, you can come and join me on stage if you don't mind. Psalms 96, verse 7 to 9 says, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory due to His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. I love this phrase when the psalmist says, the beauty of holiness. I'll be honest with you, it's been a phrase that many years in my life I struggled with it. On a real place. Because so often I thought, you know, how is holiness beautiful? Because holiness so often appeared so bland and so dull and so lifeless and so strict and so within certain parameters, there was no creativity. That's always how I thought about holiness until I understood that holiness is where their sin does not rule. Where sin is not having its way, there is holiness. God is holy because God has no sin, no evil. Therefore, He is holy. By the work of Jesus, He has done a work of holiness in me. And He calls me holy because Jesus lives within me. And I have now received the holiness of God. And if holiness is that where sin does not rule, where sin is not having its way, then I understand the beauty of holiness. The most beautiful life is the life of holiness. If God is beauty, and God is having His way in my life, then I am living the beauty of holiness. That's where beauty comes from. And from that place, when, you see, because Jesus taught us, He said, you know, it's how you see the world that determines your reality. Remember when Jesus said, if you look upon a woman with lust, it's better to pluck out your eyes. Because what was he saying? He was saying, if there's an inner problem, it becomes a filter and you see the world. You see, if there's ugliness in my heart, I look at the world and everything is ugly. But if there's beauty in my heart, the beauty of God, I look at the world and I see beauty. I see things that other people may call ugly. I say, wow, isn't that beautiful? Because I see through and I see God. And that's the reality he has for us. Now this morning I would like you to consider the beauty of God in your life. And I think I want to apply it. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and you can apply it in however way you need to and by the grace of God and the truth of the word. But let me say this. Perhaps you don't feel beautiful. Perhaps you've been made by somebody's standards. Somebody has treated you or spoken over you and made you feel like you are not beautiful. Then today I just want to say to you, you are beautiful. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. You are beautiful. Because God says you're beautiful. Your beauty comes from a deeper place. It comes from that relationship with Him, that connection with Him. He is beautiful. Let His beauty be made known through you. Don't let anybody ever say to you, you are not beautiful. You are beautiful. Please take that and let that sink into your heart. Perhaps you need to stand in front of a mirror. Not do a positive confession. That's useless. But confess the word. Confess that I am made in the image of Christ. That I carry the beauty of God. Confess that over yourself. And then the second application. Perhaps you're still living a life where ugliness is ruling because you've never come to Jesus. Then this morning, I'd like to give you an opportunity to come to Jesus. To let Him come and bring His beauty upon you. To let His perfect sacrifice deal with the ugliness you face. In yourself and the world around you, and let His beauty be established within you. I'm going to ask that we stand, and I'm going to ask the worship team to just lead us for a moment. And what I'd like you to do as we sing, don't run away. Just take a moment. And as we sing this song, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you about His beauty in your life. How He wants to make things beautiful. In you and through you, around you. So let's just consider. Let's just let the Holy Spirit speak to us. I'd like to give first opportunity this morning to people that may need to say, I need to let Jesus take care of the ugliness. I want His beauty in my life. I'm going to invite you right now. If you want us to pray with you, if you want to come and let that ugliness be nailed to the cross and to receive the beauty of God. Just come to the front right now. There may not be many people, but I just sense there's somebody today that wants to say, I need the beauty of God in my life. I know I need His beauty. I would like to give first opportunity for people like that, and then I'm going to pray for other people. Our pastors are ready to meet with you, and they just want to pray with you. I want to spend a minute with you alone. So if you want to come to the front, just come right now. Just come. It's a brave step. It's not an easy thing to do. But God has made you beautiful. He has got beautiful intentions for your life. He's got beauty that He wants to bring out of you that you will never know how beautiful you can be and how beautiful your life can be in God. He has true beauty for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these brave people that are just coming forward. And we sense God is doing just a deep work in people's hearts right now. Just a very real deep work in the hearts of people. I want to speak to the men here today, and I want to say that you have been made to carry the beauty of God. Perhaps the word beautiful is not the word that you're comfortable with or that you'd use about yourself, but can I tell you? You are a carrier of the beauty of God in a particular way, perhaps with a bit of strength to it. Not that I'm saying that ladies don't carry it with strength, but I think you understand what I mean. But God has made you beautiful. And He has got beautiful plans for you. Thank you, Lord, for your beauty. Thank you, Lord, for your beauty. I want to ask if you that have come to the front at this point in time, it's okay that you go with Pastor Seth over there. He's going to lead you just here. And we're just going to pray with you. We want to spend a bit of time with you because we want other people to come forward to be prayed for. And we want to make sure we connect with each of you. So just go to my right-hand side and just go that place and let them just pray with you. And as they are leaving just to be prayed for and just spend a bit of time with our team, I want to invite anybody else. This morning, perhaps you're a child of God. But you just want to say, Lord, I need more of your beauty in my life. I just want to come and say, Lord, let your beauty be bestowed upon me. I want to drink from your beauty today. I want to stand in your beauty. Then I'm going to ask you just to come to the front. And our team's here. They want to pray with you. Perhaps there's terrible, ugly things happening in your life. Perhaps even other people are doing things to you that just feel so ugly. And you miss the beauty of God. We would want to pray for you and just say, Lord, let your beauty be established in your people's lives. If you want that, I'm going to close the service now and bless you. And I pray for you that together with all the saints, you will be strengthened in your innermost being to grasp the height, the depth, the width of the love of God that He has for you. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for those that have watched over YouTube or have listened. Can the shepherds and the prayer team, anybody that of our leaders, our shepherds, please come, elders, just come and pray for people. God is doing something in people's hearts this morning. If you want to go, have a great Sunday. Have a tremendous week where you experience the beauty of God. If you want to stay and just worship for a little bit, that's also fine. But let God's presence be with you. Amen.